A Warrior, Part 1, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Freedom of heart is the fruit, first. Mendicants, these five things, when developed and cultivated, have freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom as their fruit and benefit. What five? A mendicant meditates observing the ugliness of the body, perceives the repulsiveness of food, perceives dissatisfaction with the whole world, observes the impermanence of all conditions, and has well established the perception of their own death. These five things, when developed and cultivated, have freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom as their fruit and benefit. When a mendicant has freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom, they're called a mendicant who has lifted up the crossbar, filled in the trench, and pulled up the pillar. They're unbarred, a noble one, with banner and burden put down, detached. And how has a mendicant lifted the crossbar? It's when a mendicant has given up ignorance, cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, obliterated it, so it's unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant has lifted the crossbar. And how has a mendicant filled in the trench? It's when a mendicant has given up transmigrating through births in future lives, cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, obliterated it, so it's unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant has filled in the trench. And how has a mendicant pulled up the pillar? It's when a mendicant has given up craving, cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, obliterated it, so it's unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant has pulled up the pillar. And how is a mendicant unbarred? It's when a mendicant has given up the five lower fetters, cut them off at the root, made them like a palm stump, obliterated them, so they're unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant is unbarred. And how is a mendicant, a noble one with banner and burden put down, detached? It's when a mendicant has given up the conceit, I am, cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, obliterated it, so it's unable to arise in the future. That's how a mendicant is a noble one with banner and burden put down, detached. Freedom of heart is the fruit. Second. Mendicants, these five things, when developed and cultivated, have freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom as their fruit and benefit. What five? The perception of impermanence, the perception of suffering in impermanence, the perception of not self in suffering, the perception of giving up, and the perception of fading away. These five things, when developed and cultivated, have freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom as their fruit and benefit. When a mendicant has freedom of heart and freedom by wisdom, they're called a mendicant who has lifted up the crossbar, filled in the trench, and pulled up the pillar. They're unbarred, a noble one with banner and burden put down, detached. One who lives by the teaching, first. Then a mendicant went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, Sir, they speak of one who lives by the teaching. How is one who lives by the teaching defined? Mendicant, take a mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They spend their days studying that teaching, but they neglect retreat and are not committed to internal serenity of heart. That mendicant is called one who studies a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant teaches Dhamma in detail to others as they learned and memorized it. They spend their days advocating that teaching, but they neglect retreat and are not committed to internal serenity of heart. That mendicant is called one who advocates a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant recites the teaching in detail as they learned and memorized it. They spend their days reciting that teaching, but they neglect retreat and are not committed to internal serenity of heart. That mendicant is called one who recites a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant thinks about and considers the teaching in their heart, examining it with the mind as they learned and memorized it. They spend their days thinking about that teaching, but they neglect retreat and are not committed to internal serenity of heart. That mendicant is called one who thinks a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Take a mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. They don't spend their days studying that teaching. They don't neglect retreat, and they're committed to internal serenity of heart. That's how a mendicant is one who lives by the teaching. So, mendicant, I've taught you the one who studies a lot, the one who advocates a lot, the one who recites a lot, the one who thinks a lot, and the one who lives by the teaching. Out of compassion, I've done what a teacher should do who wants what's best for their disciples. Here are these roots of trees, and here are these empty huts. Practice absorption, mendicant. Don't be negligent. Don't regret it later. This is my instruction to you. One who lives by the teaching, second. Then a mendicant went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, Sir, they speak of one who lives by the teaching. How is one who lives by the teaching defined? Mendicant, take a mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories and classifications, but they don't understand the higher meaning. That mendicant is called one who studies a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant teaches Dhamma in detail to others as they learned and memorized it, but they don't understand the higher meaning. That mendicant is called one who advocates a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant recites the teaching in detail as they learned and memorized it, but they don't understand the higher meaning. That mendicant is called one who recites a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Furthermore, a mendicant thinks about and considers the teaching in their heart, examining it with the mind as they learned and memorized it, but they don't understand the higher meaning. That mendicant is called one who thinks a lot, not one who lives by the teaching. Take a mendicant who memorizes the teaching, statements, songs, discussions, verses, inspired exclamations, legends, stories of past lives, amazing stories, and classifications. And they do understand the higher meaning. That's how a mendicant is one who lives by the teaching. So, mendicant, I've taught you the one who studies a lot, the one who advocates a lot, the one who recites a lot, the one who thinks a lot, and the one who lives by the teaching. Out of compassion, I've done what a teacher should do who wants what's best for their disciples. Here are these roots of trees, and here are these empty huts. Practice absorption, mendicant. Don't be negligent. Don't regret it later. This is my instruction to you. Warriors, first. Mendicants, these five warriors are found in the world. What five? Firstly, one warrior falters and founders at the mere sight of a cloud of dust. He doesn't stay firm and fails to plunge into battle. Some warriors are like that. This is the first warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior can prevail over a cloud of dust, but he falters and founders at the mere sight of a banner's crest. He doesn't stay firm and fails to plunge into battle. Some warriors are like that. This is the second warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest, but he falters and founders at the mere sound of turmoil. He doesn't stay firm and fails to plunge into battle. Some warriors are like that. This is the third warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil, but he's killed or injured when blows are struck. Some warriors are like that. This is the fourth warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil and being struck. He wins victory in battle, establishing himself as foremost in battle. Some warriors are like that. This is the fifth warrior found in the world. These are the five warriors found in the world. In the same way, these five people, similar to warriors, are found among the monks. What five? Firstly, one monk falters and founders at the mere sight of a cloud of dust. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. What is his cloud of dust? It's when a monk hears, "In such and such a village or town, there's a woman or a girl who is attractive, good-looking, lovely, of surpassing beauty." Hearing this, he falters and founders. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. This is his cloud of dust. I say that this person is like the warrior who falters and founders at the mere sight of a cloud of dust. Some people are like that. This is the first person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, one monk can prevail over a cloud of dust, but at the mere sight of a banner's crest he falters and founders. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. What is his banner's crest? It's when a monk doesn't hear, "In such and such a village or town, there's a woman or a girl who is attractive, good-looking, lovely, of surpassing beauty." But he sees for himself a woman or a girl who is attractive, good-looking, lovely, of surpassing beauty. Seeing her, he falters and founders. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. This is his banner's crest. I say that this person is like the warrior who can prevail over a cloud of dust, but he falters and founders at the mere sight of a banner's crest. Some people are like that. This is the second person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, one monk can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest, but he falters and founders at the mere sound of turmoil. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. What is his turmoil? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut when a female comes up to him. She smiles, chats, laughs, and teases him. He falters and founders. He doesn't stay firm and fails to keep up the spiritual life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. This is his turmoil. I say that this person is like the warrior who can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest, but he falters and founders at the mere sound of turmoil. Some people are like that. This is the third person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, one monk can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil, but he's killed or injured when blows are struck. What is his blows are struck? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut when a female comes up to him. She sits right by him, lies down, or embraces him. Without resigning the training and declaring his inability to continue, he has sex. This is his blows are struck. I say that this person is like the warrior who can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil, but is killed or injured when blows are struck. Some people are like that. This is the fourth person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, one monk can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil and being struck. He wins victory in battle, establishing himself as foremost in battle. What is his victory in battle? It's when a mendicant has gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, when a female comes up to him. She sits right by him, lies down or embraces him. But he disentangles and frees himself and goes wherever he wants. He frequents a secluded lodging, a wilderness, the root of a tree, a hill, a ravine, a mountain cave, a charnel ground, a forest, the open air, a heap of straw. Gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, he sits down cross-legged, with his body straight, and establishes his mindfulness right there. Giving up desire for the world, he meditates with a heart rid of desire, cleansing the mind of desire. Giving up ill will and malevolence, he meditates with a mind rid of ill will, full of compassion for all living beings, cleansing the mind of ill will. Giving up dullness and drowsiness, he meditates with a mind rid of dullness and drowsiness, perceiving light, mindful and aware, cleansing the mind of dullness and drowsiness. Giving up restlessness and remorse, he meditates without restlessness, his mind peaceful inside, cleansing the mind of restlessness and remorse. Giving up doubt, he meditates having gone beyond doubt, not undecided about skillful qualities, cleansing the mind of doubt. He gives up these five hindrances, corruptions of the heart that weaken wisdom. Then, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, he enters and remains in the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, fourth absorption. When his mind has become immersed in samadhi like this, purified, bright, flawless, rid of corruptions, pliable, workable, steady and imperturbable, he extends it toward knowledge of the ending of defilements. He truly understands, this is suffering, this is the origin of suffering, this is the cessation of suffering, this is the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. He truly understands, these are defilements, this is the origin of defilements, this is the cessation of defilements. This is the practice that leads to the cessation of defilements. Knowing and seeing like this, his mind is freed from the defilements of sensuality, desire to be reborn, and ignorance. When it is freed, he knows it is freed. He understands rebirth is ended, the spiritual journey has been completed, what had to be done has been done, there is no return to any state of existence. This is his victory in battle. I say that this person is like the warrior who can prevail over a cloud of dust and a banner's crest and turmoil and being struck. He wins victory in battle, establishing himself as foremost in battle. Some people are like that. This is the fifth person similar to a warrior found among the monks. These five people, similar to warriors, are found among the monks. Warriors, second. Mendicants, these five warriors are found in the world. What five? Firstly, one warrior dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He strives and struggles in the battle, but his foes kill him and finish him off. Some warriors are like that. This is the first warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He strives and struggles in the battle, but his foes wound him. He's carried off and taken to his relatives, but he dies on the road before he reaches them. Some warriors are like that. This is the second warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He strives and struggles in the battle, but his foes wound him. He's carried off and taken to his relatives, who nurse him and care for him. But he dies of his injuries while in their care. Some warriors are like that. This is the third warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He strives and struggles in the battle, but his foes wound him. He's carried off and taken to his relatives, who nurse him and care for him. And while in their care, he recovers from his injuries. Some warriors are like that. This is the fourth warrior found in the world. Furthermore, one warrior dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He wins victory in battle, establishing himself as foremost in battle. Some warriors are like that. This is the fifth warrior found in the world. These are the five warriors found in the world. In the same way, these five people similar to warriors are found among the monks. What five? Firstly, a mendicant lives supported by a town or village. He robes up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, enters a village or town for alms without guarding body, speech and mind, without establishing mindfulness, and without restraining the sense faculties. There he sees a female scantily clad, with revealing clothes. Lust infects his mind, and without resigning the training and declaring his inability to continue, he has sex. I say that this person is like the warrior who is killed and finished off by his foes. Some people are like that. This is the first person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, a mendicant lives supported by a town or village. He robes up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, enters a village or town for alms without guarding body, speech and mind, without establishing mindfulness, and without restraining the sense faculties. There he sees a female scantily clad, with revealing clothes. Lust infects his mind, and his body and mind burn with it. He thinks, "Why don't I go to the monastery and tell the monks, 'Reverends, I am overcome with lust, mired in lust. I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life.'" But while travelling on the road, before he reaches the monastery, he declares his inability to continue training. He rejects it and returns to a lesser life. I say that this person is like the warrior who is taken to his relatives for care, but he dies on the road before he reaches them. Some people are like that. This is the second person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, a mendicant lives supported by a town or village. He robes up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, enters a village or town for alms without guarding body, speech and mind, without establishing mindfulness, and without restraining the sense faculties. There he sees a female scantily clad with revealing clothes. Lust infects his mind, and his body and mind burn with it. He thinks, "Why don't I go to the monastery and tell the monks, 'Reverends, I am overcome with lust, mired in lust. I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life.'" He goes to the monastery and tells the monks, "Reverends, I am overcome with lust, mired in lust. I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life." His spiritual companions advise and instruct him, "Reverend, the Buddha says that sensual pleasures give little gratification and much suffering and distress, and they are all the more full of drawbacks. With the similes of a skeleton, a lump of meat, a grass torch, a pit of glowing coals, a dream, borrowed goods, fruit on a tree, a butcher's knife and chopping block, a staking sword, a snake's head, the Buddha says that sensual pleasures give little gratification and much suffering and distress, and they are all the more full of drawbacks. Be happy with the spiritual life. Venerable, please don't declare your inability to continue training. Reject it and return to a lesser life." When thus advised and instructed by his spiritual companions, he says, "Reverends, even though the Buddha says that sensual pleasures give little gratification and much suffering and distress, and they are all the more full of drawbacks, I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life. Declaring his inability to continue training, he rejects it and returns to a lesser life. I say that this person is like the warrior who dies of his injuries while in the care of his relatives. Some people are like that. This is the third person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, a mendicant lives supported by a town or village. He robes up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, enters a village or town for alms without guarding body, speech and mind, without establishing mindfulness, and without restraining the sense faculties. There he sees a female scantily clad with revealing clothes. Lust infects his mind, and his body and mind burn with it. He thinks, "Why don't I go to the monastery and tell the monks, 'Reverends, I am overcome with lust, mired in lust. I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life.'" He goes to the monastery and tells the monks, "Reverends, I am overcome with lust, mired in lust. I am unable to keep up the spiritual life. I declare my inability to continue training. I reject it and will return to a lesser life." His spiritual companions advise and instruct him, "Reverend, the Buddha says that sensual pleasures give little gratification and much suffering and distress, and they are all the more full of drawbacks." With the simile of a skeleton, a lump of meat, a grass torch, a pit of glowing coals, a dream, borrowed goods, fruit on a tree, a butcher's knife and chopping block, a staking sword, a snake's head. The Buddha says that sensual pleasures give little gratification and much suffering and distress, and they are all the more full of drawbacks. Be happy with the spiritual life. Venerable, please don't declare your inability to continue training, reject it, and return to a lesser life. When thus advised and instructed by his spiritual companions, he says, "I'll try, Reverends. I'll struggle. I'll be happy. I won't now declare my inability to continue training, reject it, and return to a lesser life. I say that this person is like the warrior who recovers from his injuries while in the care of his relatives. Some people are like that. This is the fourth person similar to a warrior found among the monks. Furthermore, a mendicant lives supported by a town or village. He robes up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, enters a village or town, guarding body, speech and mind, establishing mindfulness and restraining the sense faculties. Seeing a sight with his eyes, he doesn't get caught up in the features and details. If the faculty of sight were left unrestrained, bad, unskillful qualities of desire and aversion would become overwhelming. For this reason, he practices restraint, protecting the faculty of sight and achieving restraint over it. Hearing a sound with his ears, smelling an odour with his nose, tasting a flavour with his tongue, feeling a touch with his body, knowing a thought with his mind, he doesn't get caught up in the features and details. If the faculty of mind were left unrestrained, bad, unskillful qualities of desire and aversion would become overwhelming. For this reason, he practices restraint, protecting the faculty of mind and achieving restraint over it. Then, after the meal, on his return from alms round, he frequents a secluded lodging, a wilderness, the root of a tree, a hill, a ravine, a mountain cave, a charnel ground, a forest, the open air, a heap of straw. Gone to a wilderness, or to the root of a tree, or to an empty hut, he sits down cross-legged, with his body straight, and establishes mindfulness right there. He gives up these five hindrances, corruptions of the heart that weaken wisdom. Then, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, he enters and remains in the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, fourth absorption. When his mind has become immersed in samadhi like this, purified, bright, flawless, rid of corruptions, pliable, workable, steady, and imperturbable, he extends it toward knowledge of the ending of defilements. He truly understands, this is suffering, this is the origin of suffering, this is the cessation of suffering, this is the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. He truly understands these are defilements. This is the origin of defilements. This is the cessation of defilements. This is the practice that leads to the cessation of defilements. Knowing and seeing like this, his mind is freed from the defilements of sensuality, desire to be reborn, and ignorance. When freed, he knows it is freed. He understands rebirth is ended, the spiritual journey has been completed, what had to be done has been done. There is no return to any state of existence. I say that this person is like the warrior who dons his sword and shield, fastens his bow and arrows, and plunges into the thick of battle. He wins victory in battle, establishing himself as foremost in battle. Some people are like that. This is the fifth person similar to a warrior found among the monks. These five people similar to warriors are found among the monks.